Winter is coming. At least it is if you live in the northern latitudes. It is getting colder, it is getting darker, it might even be getting snowier where you are. Here in Idaho, where I am, we have had an early snow year. We've got snow on the ground already, and it has been really cold. It's been the last couple weeks, like highs in the 30s, lows in the teens. And I'm not going to lie, I have been hiding in the garage on the trainer and doing weights and kind of just trying to stay out of the cold. I wasn't quite ready for it this year, but my mental health has been suffering as a result. I really need to get out every single day, get out and get vitamin D, get out and get fresh air, spend time in nature. And I finally braved up this morning. I got bundled up and I went out for a ride. And what do you know? I feel so, so much better. And for me, that's kind of the theme of my winters, is continuing to ride outdoors as much as I possibly can. And I like to get out and go skiing. Of course, when the weather's really miserable, I'll be on the trainer lifting weights, doing strength training. But I try as much as I can to continue riding outside year round. And if that's something that sounds interesting to you, you're brand new to riding through the winter this year, or maybe you tried to ride during the winter, but you've always struggled with just how to dress, how to stay warm, this episode is for you. I'm going to share some of my top tips on how to continue riding through the winter comfortably and safely. That's coming up after this intro. You're listening to the Femme Cyclist Podcast, and I'm your host, Kristen Bonkowski. Like most of you, I'm a bicycle-obsessed rider and sometimes racer. Each week, I'll bring you interviews from inspiring women and offer tips and tricks to help you thrive on the bike. At Femme Cyclist, we celebrate all forms of riding and all forms of women. So whether you're a road racer, bike commuter, or hardcore shredder, you'll find your community here. The biggest challenge I hear from women about getting outside and riding during the winter is just how to stay warm. So that's where we'll start. And it can really be broken down into a few different parts: your core, what you're wearing on your body, but also your extremities, your feet, your hands, your ears. And just depending on the person, you might struggle with one of those areas more than the other. So we'll touch on each of them. Starting with the core, the most important thing, and this may seem like common sense, but common sense is not always common practice, so it bears repeating, and that is layering. The key to staying warm and doing well out in the winter, regardless of the sport you're doing, is to layer your clothing. And this is because it allows you to adjust as you ride. Chances are when you start out, you're going to be cold. And as you get going, your core temperature is going to heat up and you're going to start sweating and you're going to need to be able to strip layers. Conversely, say you're starting in the late afternoon, it might actually be pretty warm and comfortable when you start out. But now the sun is dipping down there, and as soon as it does, it's going to get cold. So you need to have layers to put on. One of the biggest problems with layering, of course, is where do you put your layers when you take them off? Or if you're starting out and it's warm and you want to take layers for later, where are you storing them until you're ready to put those layers on? And that's something to really think about before you head out. The reason it's so important to figure out how to stash extra layers is if you don't have a game plan, then there's a tendency to continue to ride with all those layers on, and you get hot and you get sweaty. And then when it's time to go downhill or the temperatures start to drop, your body and your layers of clothes are wet and you get really, really cold really, really fast. And that's the biggest challenge I see people having, is not having the discipline to take off layers once you start getting sweaty, and later on you get really, really cold as a result. You want to look for layers that are lightweight and packable, so they're easy to stuff up. You also want to look for additional ways that you might not have other times of the year to store layers. So these could be really large rear jersey pockets. You pick out a jersey that you can specifically stuff your jacket and gloves or whatever else into. You can put a bag on your bike. I like during the winter to ride with a frame bag because I can fit even a puffy coat inside that frame bag and know that I'm going to be okay. If I have an emergency, I will have enough layers to help keep me warm. There are different like storage cans that you can put on your bike that you could stuff in your water bottle cage. You can put a salsa anything cage on your fork and have a bag that goes there to put extra layers into. You could carry a hydration pack or a hip pack to put layers into, but it's important just to consider, how am I going to stop halfway through my ride and take off some of these layers and still have the place to put them so I'm not tempted to leave them on when I get sweaty. In terms of what to wear, it's so dependent on the person because some people run colder than others. And for instance, my husband always wears an entire layer more than I do to be at the same comfort level. So how many layers you're wearing is going to be a very personal choice, but I think the best way to start is always with a good merino base layer. I like wearing a merino sports bra. I found that the quickest way for me to get cold at my core is to have a wet, sweaty sports bra. By wearing a merino sports bra, it stays dry and it stays warm when it does get sweaty. Similarly, I like a merino long sleeve, and this can be a cycling specific brand that creates merino base layers, but it could also be a merino base layer that you use for skiing. If you have something, it doesn't have to be fancy, but merino is my favorite base layer. It just stays warm, it stays dry, it stays stink free when you get sweaty. And merino is a little expensive, but it's also something that's going to last you a long, long time. So it's a great investment piece if you want to be doing winter cycling. From there, you can add additional layers. Those might be additional merino layers. It might be a long sleeve fleece. It might be a flannel shirt, even a long sleeve. I like long sleeve full zip jerseys with pockets in the back. And depending on how cold it is, one of those layers might even be a puffy jacket. I know this is a little bit controversial. A lot of people don't like to cycle in a puffy jacket. But if you are in Minnesota, if you are somewhere where it is well below freezing, a puffy jacket can be a great layer. And it's also a nice thing, as I'd mentioned before, maybe to have stuffed in a frame bag. So if you have an emergency, if you have a mechanical, if you have to stop and wait for friends, if the temperature just gets a lot colder than you expected, that puffy coat can be a really great insurance policy out on the trail or the road. And then the last layer I would always recommend having when you're biking in cold weather is a windproof outer layer. And this is because even if it's not windy outside, as soon as you start moving very fast, you're generating wind. And if you don't have that outer layer, you're going to get really cold. Even a puffy jacket isn't going to do anything for you if there's wind. If you're riding downhill, it's going to go straight through to your core. The other thing to consider when choosing layers is breathability. It can be really tempting to use as that outermost layer a rain jacket or a ski shell, but you want to resist doing something truly, truly waterproof as an external layer unless it's raining. And the reason for this is that you just don't get any breathability. So inside that jacket, all your layers underneath are going to start getting wet as soon as you start sweating. If it is raining or snowing or otherwise wet outside, then a rain jacket does make sense. But make sure you're spending a little bit more to invest in a good quality, breathable rain jacket that has ventilation, because if not, you're just going to get wet and cold inside. If you're looking for some great brands, I really love Showers Pass and Gorewear. They both make great rain gear specifically for cycling. A buff around your neck can help a lot. I usually start out with the buff, and after about 10 minutes, I get way too hot with it on. It holds in so much heat, but that can be a great thing to have along as kind of an insurance policy also. And the great thing about a buff is it doesn't take up much room. I like to just like wrap it around my wrist when I'm ready to take it off, and it's there very easily to put back on when I get cold or when I'm going to go downhill. You might be wondering about warmers as layers, like arm warmers, knee warmers, leg warmers. And those things are fabulous for shoulder season riding, or if you are riding through an Arizona winter or a Texas winter where it does get cold. I've lived in Arizona. You do get some cold temperatures during the winter, but we're not talking about below freezing temperatures generally. So at more shoulder season, slightly warmer but still cool temperatures, arm warmers, knee warmers, leg warmers are great. And those are great, especially if it might be cold when you're starting out, but it's going to be 55 or 65 degrees when you finish your ride. But for truly cold temperatures, I would recommend staying away from arm warmers and looking instead for full-length leggings, full-length jerseys. As far as the lower body goes, we really need to focus on keeping our legs warm as well. At colder temperatures, your joints can get really sore, our leg muscles can be less effective, and we're asking a lot of them while we're cycling. So it's important to invest in a good pair of cycling tights or even cycling pants for your legs. I really like for cold weather, a pair of cycling bibs that are fleece lined and that also have a layer on the outside that is wind resistant and water resistant. You can bike in really cold temperatures with a good quality, expensive, unfortunately, pair of thermal winter cycling bibs. If you don't like bibs, which I kind of understand when you have all those layers on top, you can also get good quality cycling tights that are fleece lined that have wind and water resistant outers. If it's not extremely cold where you are, you can get away with a lighter weight cycling tight or legging. One of the issues I know that a lot of you face is that these high quality leggings are really expensive. You can expect to spend $200 plus for a good pair of winter tights. If that's you and you're just looking to try to get out this winter a little bit without spending a ton of money, something that I've always recommended is going to a drugstore like Walgreens, and they have these great fleece lined leggings there that are incredibly inexpensive, and you can layer them over your regular cycling shorts or over a pair of like padded cycling underwear and use those as a alternative to buying an expensive pair of cycling tights. No, they're not going to be as compressive. They're not going to be as tailor-made to cycling. They may not be as warm in like windy or snowy conditions, but it is a really good way to get started if you are on a budget. There are also cycling pants if you like a little bit looser fit. Cycling pants you can get. I have some from Pactimo that I like. There are some from Club Ride that I like that are wind and water resistant. And you can wear those on their own in a little bit warmer temperatures. Or if it is really cold outside, you can wear those cycling tights and then put the pants on over it. And that's a good way to layer your bottom half, which is a little harder to layer. Now that we have our upper bodies and our lower bodies covered, let's talk about extremities, which is something that so many women really, really struggle with. Is, you know, I can keep my core temperature warm through exercise, but my fingers and my toes just absolutely freeze while I ride. The good news is that there are really, really great options out there. You might have to invest a little bit of money if you're serious about cold weather riding and you struggle with those extremities. But there are some great options for keeping your hands and your feet warm. For your feet, one of the most obvious places to start is with some warmer socks. These might be merino wool. They might be synthetic winter cycling sock. You do want to keep them relatively thin, like thinner than what you would wear skiing, just so you can fit them inside your cycling shoes. Or you can always also choose a thicker sock and just buy a shoe that you use for the winter that's a size up from your regular shoe that gives you a little bit more space to put on warm socks underneath. You can also buy toe covers that go over the exterior of your shoe. And we have a lot of generally mesh and vents in the toe area of the shoe. So putting a cover over there can help keep your toes a little bit warmer. That's best for not incredibly cold riding. If it's really cold, then you want a shoe cover that goes over the entirety of your shoe. You can also invest in winter shoes or winter boots. These come with, holes to mount your cleats on the bottom. And if you really, really suffer from cold, this is the way to go. It's worth spending the money to invest in a high quality winter cycling shoe or boot. I haven't tried them, but there are also electric warmers you can buy. These can be insoles that go inside your shoe. And again, you will probably need to buy a bigger shoe to fit them. Or there are electric heated overshoes that go on the outsides of your shoes. And if you are a skier, you know that, electric foot warmers are very popular. And this is a good investment if you really struggle from cold feet. Having those electric warmers can make a huge difference. Other little foot hacks that you can consider are tinfoil and poop bags. So tinfoil, I'm not a big fan of this, but I do know people who swear by it, is you put the tinfoil over your toes inside your shoe, and that helps keep your toes warm. And the poop bags I have used, and it works well in wet weather, especially if you weren't expecting the wet weather. You can put those poop bags over your feet inside of your shoes, and it will help keep your feet dry. For your hands, you want to give up your summer cycling gloves. Those are generally made to be really lightweight and breathable, and you want to buy a winter cycling glove. Winter cycling gloves usually work well at temperatures above freezing. Once it starts to get below freezing, it's worth investing in lobster gloves. These are nice, warm, mitten-type gloves, but they have a split in them to allow you to brake and remain control over your bike. Or bar mitts. Lots of fat bikers use bar mitts. They're super warm. They can keep your hands warm in extremely cold temperatures. But you can use them for riding on the road too. There are also bar mitts that are designed for use with drop bar bikes. And if you struggle with cold hands, it is worth the investment putting bar mitts on your bike. Moving on to your head and your ears. My favorite solution is a thin buff. I like to put that over my ears. I can also pull it down a little bit more to cover my forehead. And this helps keep those areas that tend to get really cold warm without having anything on the top of your head. So you can still release sweat and heat through the top of your head. If it's colder or if you really struggle, you can get a beanie that's designed specifically for going underneath your helmet. These are thin but warm. Terry, for instance, has one that I like to use when it's really cold outside. The key here, though, is to buy one that is cycling specific, so it's thinner. If you put on a regular beanie underneath your helmet, it's probably not going to fit properly. If you want to go even a step beyond that, a baklava. There are cycling specific baklavas that cover your entire head. Fits under your helmet, then covers most of your face while still leaving a space for your eyes. And man, if it is really cold outside, if it is really windy, a baklava is a great choice. Again, this is such a personal thing. My husband bikes with a baklava almost all winter long, and I would absolutely die of heat exhaustion wearing one. So personal choice, but anywhere from a buff over your ears to a cap to a baklava, you should be able to keep your face warm. The other thing is your eyes. A pair of sunglasses can help. If it's really, really cold and snowy, you could try goggles, which are kind of a hybrid between a sunglass and a goggle where they wrap around your face further, or even goggles. I have absolutely fat biked in blizzard conditions with goggles on. And there's no shame in that. If you wear them for skiing, you wear them for snowmobiling, there's no reason not to wear goggles out on your bike also. Okay, so now that we have all the gear you need and what to wear to keep yourself warm, let's move on to a few other things that might help with your comfort and safety while riding. The first of those is to consider your tire choice. There may be days during the winter when it is just truly too treacherous to get out and ride on the road. But with the right tires, you should be able to go out and ride most of the year, even when there is snow and ice on the road. The first key is, if there's just maybe some slight icy patches in places, is to lower your tire pressure. If you lower your tire pressure, you will get better contact with the road and better traction. If it is significantly more icy, you might also want to consider adding a tire with more traction. So if you usually ride a road bike, maybe put a gravel tire on your bike or switch over to your gravel bike. Or you could ride, if you have a mountain bike, try riding your mountain bike on the road for a while. You can also get studded tires. Studded tires are great for icy conditions. If you are trying to still commute in the winter, put studded tires on your bike. And that's one of the safest things you can do for riding in icy conditions. You might also want to consider a fat bike. I absolutely adore my fat bike for getting me through the winter. I ride it on trails, but I also ride it around town. There are a lot of days where there's simply too much snow on the road to ride a regular bike, and I continue riding on the road with my fat bike through the winter. Fat bikes have these big high volume tires that you can run at really low pressures and continue to ride in most conditions. My next tip is to make sure that you're continuing to eat and drink. A lot of us put in a ton of time into dialing in our hydration and our nutrition during our summer cycling months and then let it all go during the winter. And part of the reason for this is during the winter, you don't have those same thirst cues you have during the summer when it's so hot. But you're still sweating, you're still exercising, and you still need to be hydrating. You can start out with hot water in your bottles. That'll help them stay warm longer, and the warm water might also help keep your core warm while you're riding. You can also buy insulated bottles. Polar comes out with a really great insulated water bottle that'll keep your water from freezing a lot longer. You can buy a hydration pack that is made for winter riding that has an insulated bladder and hose. However you do it, it's just really important to remember to continue hydrating on those winter rides. Similarly, when it's cold outside and you're exercising outdoors, you're burning a lot of calories. So you got to remember to eat too, especially if you're riding, you know, over an hour or two. I like to think ahead and bring real food that's warm to eat on my rides. So this could be anything that you can wrap in tin foil. You can do boiled baby potatoes with some butter and salt. That's a great snack wrapped in tin foil. You could bring part of a burrito wrapped in tin foil, but warm food helps keep you warm out on your ride and makes it more interesting to eat. Similarly, you could always get a thermos that fits in your water bottle and put like hot soup in there. Warm food when you're riding can be hugely beneficial to keeping you motivated and well-fed. Speaking of eating and drinking, I also love to plan my winter rides around a destination. This might be on a fat bike ride. You might be going to a warming hut or a yurt. If you're out on a road bike ride, you could find somewhere that's halfway, a midpoint coffee shop to stop at or a gas station to stop at. But just having that time to get off your bike, get in somewhere warm, have a warm drink, have some warm food can make a longer ride much more realistic and possible. The one thing you do want to be careful for at these stops, though, is getting cold. So you might have gotten sweaty while you're riding. You need to make sure that you have a nice warm layer to put on when you're going inside. This is where I like having my puffy coat and my frame bag. I can get it out, put it on while I'm going inside the coffee shop to get a nice warm coffee. My next tip is to add both fenders and lights to your bike. Fenders are especially important if you're riding somewhere where it's rainy during the winter, or if you're riding somewhere where it's snowy in the winter and then you end up with a bunch of slush on the road. When that stuff sprays up on you, you can get really wet and really cold in a hurry. Fenders can either be, you know, kind of more old school fenders that you bolt onto your bike, but they can also be smaller little plastic fenders that go on with zip ties. And I really like those because you put those on for a couple months and then they're easy to, you know, snip off when the time comes to go back to non-winter riding. In terms of lights, It is dark in the winter. It gets dark really early. Having lights on your bike can extend your ride time, allow you to ride after work. Even during the day, when it's not dark outside, you can have a lot of cloud cover and a lot less sunshine. And having lights on your bike helps make you more visible, even in those lower light riding conditions. If you are doing a lot of riding on the road, you might also want to consider reflective clothing. I have a whole nother podcast episode in riding in the dark and low light conditions, so I won't go into some of those additional tips. But if you are planning on riding after work or early in the morning, I'd recommend going back and listening to that episode as well. My final tip for winter riding is to take care of your bike. There is just so much more in the winter that can wreak havoc on your bike. This is rain, snow, salt that's put down on the road, mud, and additional grime. And bikes are just really take a lot of abuse during the winter. This is complicated, of course, by the fact that your outdoor water, your hose, is probably turned off for the winter if you live somewhere where it gets below freezing at night, and it can be hard to clean it. So a couple tips I've learned there is, one, if you have a shower that's big enough to bring your bike inside and wash it off in the shower. Another thing that I've done that works really well is to go to Home Depot or your garden store and buy a sprayer. These are generally intended for like putting pesticides on your lawn, but you're just going to put nice warm water in it. And it's a container that has a hose on the end, and you can spray off your bike just like you would with a hose, but the water is coming from the tank instead of your external water source. That's a great way to wash off your bike. Just filling up a big bucket with warm water and trying to rinse your bike as best you can that way is another option. But you do want to take extra care in the winter to make sure that your bike is dry and clean after your rides, or else you're going to end up with a lot of rusty, worn out parts, and you're going to have to deal with that in the spring, and your bike will not be happy. I hope you got something out of this episode, that there was something in here that you hadn't thought of before that you can go apply to your winter riding, or that maybe I've inspired you to get in a couple of winter rides this year rather than just being on the trainer. The trainer is great also. I have another podcast episode on, you know, training indoors during the winter, but if you are feeling down, you need a little vitamin D and fresh air, I would highly recommend figuring out a setup for you to get outside. And I should also just add that the more you do it, the easier it gets. You get it really dialed in. I now know what to wear if it's 35 degrees out. I know what to wear if it's 25 degrees out. You will learn that the more you ride. It's super possible to ride through the winter. I hope you do. I hope you get out and enjoy yourself. And if you liked this episode, can you please go out and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening to this, and also share it with a friend. I super appreciate you all helping get the word out, helping this podcast grow so we can reach more women and grow our community. Until next time, happy riding.